do want to thank you, everyone, for being here this morning. And thank those men that stepped up. See, I was out 1 week because of a virus, and then the other week because my mother passed away. And we thank you all for your cards and your prayers and sympathy, and for those men that stepped in and took care of things like you did. Appreciate that. Let me encourage you to take your Bible and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. There are three significant words that Paul left with Timothy as he was commissioned to continue to preach the word in a difficult time in history, very difficult time in history. There have been times that are very difficult in our own history, and we may face some times that are even more challenging than any that we have faced even up to this point. But the church, the kingdom of God, is greater than the kingdoms of men. We've got to remember that. And so I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to try to probe your heart with the words of God. Even as I probe my own, I have to look at myself, and I have to evaluate what's the most important kinds of things to think about. The world of Timothy was turning upside down, churning, disturbing, political persecution against God's people, against the church in the first century. We have not seen that in our lifetime. We've heard about it in other periods of time and in other places of the earth. But we may see a real challenging time in our future. Not trying to put any kind of panic, but just realistically looking and observing things. Jesus says you can look at the signs of the times and you can tell that things are churning and things are going to be very challenging for us. So we've got to stack our hearts with the right tools to face whatever we have to face. Whatever it is that we have to face, we've got to be internally prepared. All right? So this is why Paul is writing to Timothy in his situation. And he says in verse 6, 1 Timothy 6, verse 6, that godliness with contentment is great gain. In that world, he says this is the best thing you can do for yourself, is that you can practice godliness, and you add with that contentment. Godliness with contentment. Those are the primary anchor stones, if you will. In a disturbing world, you've got to practice godliness with contentment. This may be a time where the church, because the church is challenged, becomes stronger and mightier than it has ever been in our lifetime. This is our opportunity for us to step up to the plate and to show what real faith is. Real faith needs to be demonstrated because it is anchored in a godliness, a respect for God, a reverence for God. By that I mean that we trust God. We trust God through the storm. We trust that He is able to help us through the storm. So 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 tells us what is the most important thing here. Don't forget this. Don't get your eyes looking at the storm so long that you forget that there is someone mightier than the storm that is looking for your heartstrings to be tied to godliness with contentment. And he says the reason why we can look at it this way is because we realize whatever we have, we didn't bring it with us into the world, and we're not going to take it out of the world. So it is not important for us to latch on to material things. Material things are temporal at best. And when we leave, we're not going to be tied to those things anyway. Carrying on now. We didn't bring anything into the world. We're not going to carry anything out. So what do you need inside you? I need godliness. I need contentment. And my heartstrings not tied to the material things. Having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. You have what you need, and Jesus promises us that you will have what you need. Verse 9, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare. A snare is a trap. You get trapped in something and you can't seem to escape it. You can't seem to manage a way out. And you fall into this temptation and snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. We see that very well, I hope, in our own time. We see that in people of political power, that they're driven by the love of money, and it drives them to make some of the worst kinds of decisions politically. So it was in Paul's day and in Timothy's day. And so we must recognize that my heartstrings are not tied to the material. My heartstrings are tied to the spiritual. If my heartstrings are indeed tied to that, that that's the most important thing to me, then I can be satisfied with little or more. Paul says, I've learned to be content in whatever state I'm in, whether it's with a lot of stuff or whether it's with a little bit of stuff, but I've learned this. Why? How did he learn that? Through tying his heartstrings to in the right place. You're going to be able to manage whatever you face in this world. If your heartstrings are tied to the right value system, what is most important? All right. Then he goes on to say, the love of money has caused a lot of people to lose their faith, stray from the faith. Don't let that happen to you. Make sure you're not straying from the faith, but because of godliness with contentment, you are driven deeper into faith. We can go either way here. We can either use this as an opportunity to be stronger than we have ever been in our spiritual lives, or we can let the situation pierce us through with many sorrows because of an abandonment of our faith. But you, O man of God, flee these things. Three words. In the King James, you have the word flee. And then he says, flee these things and follow. New King James says, pursue it. Go after it. Some things you run from, some things you run to. Some things that you flee from, some things you follow after. You go for it. So we're in a situation where we can abandon certain things and we can follow certain things, pursue them. Let me point out here in this text, he says pursue, go after righteousness, doing the right thing. Go after it. Go after godliness. Use this opportunity to brace your heart with the right information and with the right convictions regarding that information. That is, I'm going to leave the material things. I'm not going to be so tied to that. I am going to go after these things. You can always go after these things. But sometimes it's so deceiving when it comes to the material things that we get too tied to those things. So go after faith. Anybody can do that. Rich or poor, you can go after a greater faith. You can go after a greater love. Go after it. It's not something that happens to you. It is something you pursue. You go after it. Don't abandon these things. Don't flee from these things. Don't shun these things. Don't neglect these things. Go after these things. Go after patience. Patience is endurance, the ability to hold fast in the storm, the ability to hold fast under the trying pressures of the time. Go after gentleness. And so here are some things. Peace, go after it. I want peace within. Well, I can go after the Prince of Peace, can I not? The one who knows peace. The one who handled everything he handled all the way to the death. I can pursue the things, the values he pursued. Reconciliation. Jesus says you go to the altar and there you remember that your brother has something against you. Pursue reconciliation. Go after it. This is the time for the church to be stronger than it's ever been. And by that I mean every individual fleeing certain things and following certain things. What you do for yourself on the inside strengthens the whole of the congregation. The world is going to see disturbances. The world does not know where to turn. They do not know what to do with these circumstances, but you do. And by you pursuing these things, you will set an example that will have people scratching their heads and wondering why you're not falling apart. Why aren't you falling apart? And you can say, well, I know the Prince of Peace. And the peace of God that passes all understanding guards our hearts because I'm tied to Jesus Christ. When I was baptized into union with Him, I made it a covenant that I was going to be yoked to Him as a partner, not just at baptism and then throw it away, but at baptism we are united together with Him, Romans chapter 6 says. And then the two of us together pursue righteousness, doing the right thing. And it's not right for people who are tied in their heartstrings to the Prince of Peace to be falling apart, to be full of worry and fear. God does not give us a spirit of fear, Paul wrote to Timothy. So peace, reconciliation, forgiveness, those are terms we know that the Prince of Peace implores us to pursue those things. And we know also in John chapter 17 that the Prince of Peace told us by praying to His Father about the unity of His disciples. In other words, whatever the trials that we must face in our world, we must recognize that the Father was tied to Jesus in the extreme circumstances Jesus was about to experience. And Jesus says in that prayer, the way that I get through this is because, Father, you're in me and I am in you. And I'm praying that these disciples will be more than just survivors through the crucible of the rejection and persecution they would see, but that they would let their heartstrings pull tightly and more closely to God and Jesus Christ and to each other. So flee and follow. Here is our mantra, if you will. This has got to be our mantra for this year. I'm going to get away from some things that I didn't need to have my heartstrings so tied to. I'm going to make sure that I discard that connection and I make a greater connection with the things like peace and love and reconciliation and forgiveness. And that the church is drawn more tightly together rather than breaking apart like the world breaks apart. The unity Jesus prayed for in His disciples is a prayer He wants for this church. He wants this church to desire that kind of unity as well. So flee and follow. I always think of those words now from here on out. Throughout this year, I've got to flee some things. I've got to follow hard after some things. But then here's the final F. Three F's. Flee, follow, and now verse 12. Fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight it. You can't lay down. You can't give up. You can't abandon the one that is greater in you than he who is in the world. You've got to fight if you want to survive. You're going to have to fight for your best year of faith. You cannot abandon it. You cannot loosen your grip on that value system. This must be the year that you fight your best fight. Fight your best year of faith. Strengthen the things that are hanging down. Strengthen the hands that have been discouraged and have gone limp. Bring them up to work in His service. Paul would say to the Hebrews, on the verge, I might say, the Hebrews were on the verge of seeing the destruction of Jerusalem in their lifetime. The center of everything that had been a part of their growing up and their heritage was going to be dismantled shortly after the writing of the book of Hebrews. So when he writes the book of Hebrews, he says, now, there's discipline. You're going to have to run this race with endurance. You're going to have to hang tough. You're going to have to fight and pursue peace. And you're going to have to fight your best fight. Your closest relationship with God must be this year. No, you can't look back and say, you know, I was really growing in year, and then put your year there and say, you know, I was really growing that year. No, this is your best year. This is your best opportunity for spiritual growth. Fight for it. Fight for your closest relationship with God. James says, the Lord says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. This is the year for your closest relationship with your brethren. I know things have been disturbing and upsetting, the ability for us to find ways of connecting. There seems to be a lot of disconnect. This must be the year that we try our hardest to find ways to connect our relationship with each other, because who is going to help us to heaven but us? Who is on this team? Who is going to try to help Airport Church of Christ, the church that claims to be of Christ? Who is going to be helping this church grow? Or are we going to be defeated by the cares of the world so that we loosen our grip on God and we loosen our grip on each other? This must be the time when we realize we've got to fight for every inch of ground that we can conquer. And most of that fight is the battle within. The battle of unconcern or apathy. The battle of discouragement. The battle of whatever it is that would cause us to drift apart in our relationships. Your closest relationship with your brethren this year. Closer. Christ Church. Remember Paul getting with the elders from Ephesus at Miletus in Acts chapter 20. And he was pleading. He was pouring out his heart, because he knew they were going to face some difficult times. He did not want that church to break apart, especially with wolves from the inside doing their work on the inside of that church, even among the eldership. If the wolves are in the eldership, then the church is not in good shape. And he warned them that they needed to make sure that their connection with the Holy Spirit was true and loyal to his words. That the word of his grace was still able to build them up and give them an inheritance. But that they realized that their duty was to the church that Jesus purchased with his own blood. The church is so important to the Lord. And therefore, the church must be important to those elders Paul was talking to. And guess what? The church must be important to us here at Airport. Because if we fail to realize the value of the church to the Lord, we will fall apart. This must be our best year, not our worst. It must be the year that we fight for it. That we stand spiritual ground. That we fight like we've never fought before. Because that's the good fight. That's a fight worth fighting for. Jesus fought to the death for his church. We're going to have to fight, maybe to the death. Well, not maybe. No matter when the death is coming, we've got to be faithful unto death, all the way to the death. There is no time for us to weaken. There's only time to strengthen the hands that hang down. There's no time for discouragement. There's only time to encourage our own hearts and then encourage the brethren. You see, this is the year to flee certain things, to follow certain things, and to fight. And to fight like you've never fight for every inch of spiritual ground you can master. And that's the lesson. I hope everybody takes it to heart. This is our year. We must go forward with great strength, great faith, and great victory ahead. Let's get our songbook now. You've never obeyed the gospel. You still haven't left the world. You haven't left your grip on the things of the world. You need to flee them now. if you're now wanting to pursue the right thing and fight for it, let's begin by our baptism into Christ, our confession of Him, that we truly believe He is the Christ, the Son of God. If we can help you in your obedience to Him this morning, please let your wishes be made known as we stand together and sing.